If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn with me this morning to John chapter 6. This morning we're continuing our new sermon series that we began last week, the study of the great I Am, a study of the I Am in Scripture. Last week we began by studying Exodus chapter 3. And it is in Exodus 3 that God revealed to Moses and us what his name is, which is I Am. Now this morning, we're going to be looking at the first of Jesus's many different I Am statements in Scripture. With each of these statements, Jesus is revealing himself as the answer to one of man's greatest needs. We're going to see this morning, Jesus used the terms hunger and thirst. You know, our bodies have requirements for survival, don't they? Have you ever noticed that it does not matter how much you eat? You can stuff yourself full. You can stuff yourself to the point where you have to unbutton that top button or pull out the stretchy pants. In a matter of time, you're going to be hungry again, aren't you? You know, there is no magic pill that will eliminate hunger. There are hunger suppressants out there to help curb one's appetite. But even with those, people are still going to be hungry. Why is that? Because all of us need food and water. We can't live without them. Our hearts also have requirements. We need spiritual nourishment that can only come from Jesus. This morning's passage comes right after two of Jesus' most recognized miracles in the Bible. Right after Jesus took that little boy's lunchbox and multiplied those fishes and loaves and fed 5,000 people. Right after that, Jesus instructed the disciples to get into a boat and go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee toward Capernaum. And as they're out on the water, there's a storm that brews, and the disciples kind of fear for their life. And as that storm is happening, they look and they see Jesus walking on water. And they look out at Jesus, and Jesus gets in the boat, and we're told immediately they're on the other side of the lake. These are two of amazing miracles, two very popular miracles of Jesus. Well, once they're on the other side of the lake, the crowd that was with Jesus the day before, whenever he multiplied that kid's lunchbox, have come over to the other side of the lake with Jesus. They have come because they are seeking, once again, satisfaction. They're seeking food once again. What I want us to see this morning is that Jesus is the only one that can truly provide satisfaction. If you and I seek satisfaction in the things of this world, we're going to hunger again. But if we seek Jesus, the bread of life, our true hunger will be taken care of. Our message point this morning is our greatest need is the spiritual satisfaction that only Jesus can provide. Do you believe that this morning? Do you know that to be true this morning, Faith Family? Do you hunger after Jesus? Do you thirst after Jesus? Is this your heart's cry on a daily basis? Man, I hope it is. Because the more we hunger, the more we thirst after Jesus, the more we're going to find ourselves in His Word. The more we're going to find ourselves in prayer. The more we're going to be doing the work that God has set us apart to do. Notice our first point this morning. It is Jesus's presentation about himself. So let's look at verses 35 through 40 together. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So notice how Jesus describes himself. The first thing here is he describes his person, doesn't he? Jesus said, I am. He begins with the powerful statement, linking himself to the name God gave himself in Exodus chapter 3. Jesus wanted these people to know that he was more than a miracle worker. He was more than a person that can multiply a kid's lunchbox. He wanted them to know that he is the I am. He is the great I am. He is the only one that can truly satisfy our every need. We cannot find ultimate satisfaction from a bottle, from sex, from any relationship. Your work will not satisfy you. Your hobbies will not satisfy you. Food will not satisfy you. The things of this world will not satisfy you. Only Jesus can truly satisfy an individual. Notice next his presentation. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Jesus links himself once again to the very miracle he had performed the day before. It is only in Jesus that, again, that we can experience true satisfaction. He is the source of our salvation. It is only through Jesus that a person can experience eternal life. In a couple of weeks, we're going to look at Jesus' I am statement about being the way. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. There are not multiple ways to heaven, as people like to try to tell us. A person can't get to heaven by believing in Muhammad. A person can't get to heaven by believing in Buddha. A person can't get to heaven by believing in one of the many different Hindu gods. A Jew can't get there by denying Jesus. There is one way, and that way is through God the Father. That way is through Jesus to God the Father. Notice next, Jesus reveals his provision to the people. He says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. You know, these people came seeking temporary relief from their physical hunger pains. But Jesus came and dwelt among them and us to provide something so much greater than what we need physically. He came to provide spiritual satisfaction. He came to provide a bread that once received would forever satisfy the heart of men and women. He came to provide a drink that once received would satisfy the thirst of our souls. Notice these words from Jesus found in Revelation chapter 21. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will come from the spring of the water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You know, I'm grateful that I will never be hungry spiritually again. I'm grateful that I will never be thirsty spiritually again. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that Jesus satisfies our greatest need, which is our spiritual hunger for him? You know, many people sit in our churches today, and many people are outside the doors of our church today. They're searching after something that will ultimately never bring satisfaction to them. They're trying to meet their spiritual needs by satisfying their physical hungers. They're always going to be left unsatisfied without Jesus. You know, it's like the guy who went to an all-you-can-eat buffet. All of us have been there, right? He went there with some of his friends. They watched him as he piled his plate high with steak and with shrimp and with fried chicken, with pasta. He got some chocolate pie, got some coconut pie. He ate and he ate and he ate until he was stuffed. Well, after a few minutes of being stuffed, he realized there was a little bit more room left in his stomach. So he went right back through that buffet line. He was trying to get his money's worth is what he was trying to do, right? Eventually, someone at his table says, you know, for someone who keeps eating, you never seem full. You know, that's how life works without Jesus. We fill our lives with things, with our careers, with our achievements, with worldly pleasures, with relationships. Even people try to fill their lives with religion, but they still end up spiritually hungry. That is what we see with this crowd. They followed Jesus because he fed them bread, but he offered them so much more. He offered them himself. Only Jesus can satisfy the hunger of the human heart. Everything else is just a buffet that leaves us empty again. Jesus is the only one that can provide you with what you need. I hope you know this, and I hope you will turn to Jesus for salvation this morning if you have not already. Next, we see Jesus is clear about his purpose with the crowd and us. In verses 37 through 4, or 36 through 40, again we read, "But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." You know, Jesus knew the intentions of this crowd. He knew the desires of their heart. He knew why they had gotten in their own boats and come over to Capernaum. They had come seeking what Jesus could provide, physical relief. They wanted what he had already provided them with, some fish and some bread. Now hear me this morning. Many people still come to Jesus like that. They come to Jesus looking for Jesus to save them and rescue them from hell. They come to Jesus wanting that get out of hell free card. But when Jesus speaks of coming to him, he is not speaking of us coming to him in the flesh. He is not speaking of us coming to him seeking physical satisfaction. He speaks of us coming to him totally abandoning ourselves and our desires for him. He speaks of us coming to him and yielding our lives over to his lordship. And when we come to him like this, there is an assurance given by him that he will save us and keep us and protect us and give us the gift of eternal life. This past on Friday, Danny and I went to the memorial service for Sonny Radford's dad, who had passed earlier in the week. And while we were there, there was a gentleman that stood up and gave a testimony about Sonny's dad's life and talked about how Sonny was a man that followed after God, a man that loved the Lord, loved his family, loved just people in general. And he went on and he said that something about Sonny's dad's life. He said that he had died to himself. And he said that unless we die to ourselves as well, we're never going to be filled with Christ. You know, part of us dying to ourselves is surrendering our lives over to Jesus, being filled with Jesus, the bread of life. Notice that we see here with our second point, in response to all this, the Jews grumbled against Jesus. In verse 41 and following, we read, "So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven?' Jesus answered them, 'Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father.'" You know, back in the day, there were many different opinions about Jesus, wasn't there? Some grumbled, some complained, some talked bad about Jesus behind his death or behind his back. We know that the Pharisees and the religious leaders wanted him arrested. They wanted him stoned. They wanted him put to death. But some saw Jesus as an individual that was nothing more than the Jewish boy that grew up in Nazareth. They could not wrap their minds around who he had become. And they certainly couldn't wrap their minds around who he claimed to be. Just like then, today, that is the same way people approach Jesus. Many like what Jesus has to offer, but they're not willing to give up the desires of the flesh for a life in Christ. Jesus was making statements that they deemed to be blasphemous, right? To them, Jesus was nothing more than the son of Joseph and Mary. But on this day, Jesus made it clear that he was someone so much more than the son of Mary and Joseph. He made it clear to them that he is the very God who appeared to Moses from that very burning bush. He is the very God who used a shepherd boy to bring down the giant Goliath with nothing more than a slingshot and a stone. He is the very God who showed up in that fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is the very God that delivered Daniel from that fiery furnace. He is the very God that came and dwelt among us. And as we looked at last week, the statement that one writer shared, that when God deals with man, it's always a descent to him. God comes down to us before we can ever go up to him. On this day, Jesus made it clear to that crowd who he was. He had come down from heaven to dwell amongst them. He had come down from heaven to provide them with the greatest gift ever, and that is eternal life if they would believe in him. Jesus goes on to speak of this ultimate assurance. Jesus' assurance about salvation is our third point. Begin reading with me in verse 47. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh." Notice Jesus' emphasis here. He says, "Truly, truly." When something is repeated more than once in Scripture, you know what that means? It means you better take notice of what's about to come out of my mouth. This is a message that you do not want to miss, is what Jesus is telling us and the crowd. Jesus is telling the crowd that the only way to have eternal life is to believe in him. Now, it is more than just knowing about him, right? Even the demons know about Jesus, and we're told in Scripture that they shudder at his name. Reaching back to verse 42, we read, "They said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?'" They know of Jesus. Many of them grew up in proximity of him. They knew he was a good kid. They knew he was wise beyond his years. They knew he was the son of Mary and Joseph. There were a lot of things they knew about him, but they did not truly know him. Many people walk through the doors of this church and they know about Jesus. At Christmas and Easter, this place is overflowing with people that know about Jesus. Many know stories from the Bible about Jesus because they went to a vacation Bible school when they were growing up. They were drugged to Sunday school when they were growing up. They may have gone to youth camp or children's camp. Many people have heard dozens, if not hundreds, of sermons about Jesus, but they do not know Jesus because they have never truly believed in him for salvation. Jesus reaches back to one of the greatest miracles found in the Old Testament, to when he fed the Israelites for 40 years with manna from heaven. If you remember, every single morning, 6 days a week, the Jews woke up and there was manna on the ground for them to eat. On Saturday, there was a double portion. Or on Friday, there was a double portion for them to eat. Jesus sustained them physically. Guess what? Every single one of those people eventually died, is what Jesus tells us here. The physical bread that the Lord provided them sustained them for a period of time. But like all, they eventually died. Then Jesus goes on to say that there is another bread that has come down from heaven. And he is the source of that bread. Verse 51 again, Jesus, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. In closing, notice Jesus' response to everyone arguing. In verses 52 through 58, we read, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. To the Jews, this was a bunch of crazy talk, wasn't it? The words they hear are words that lead them to believe that Jesus is speaking to them about cannibalism. If you notice, instead of easing away from those statements, Jesus kept hammering them home. He kept saying that they had to eat the flesh of the Son of Man. He emphasizes this again and again, and he uses the words once again, truly, truly. In verse 53, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus is not speaking of cannibalism here. He's using eating and drinking as a metaphor for belief. Unless you believe in Jesus for salvation, unless you are linked to Jesus' bruised and broken and torn body, unless your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus, then you are not a Christian. You see, our salvation is linked to his broken body and his spilled out blood. It is linked to his sacrificial death. Salvation is not based on works. It is not based upon being good. It is based upon one's belief in Jesus. It is based on us believing that he is God and that he came and dwelt among us and that he lived a perfect life and he died a sacrificial death upon the cross. Do you believe this morning? Do you know him? If you were to die today, do you know for certain where you would spend eternity? Do you know him, or do you just know of him? If you know him, notice the promise that we're given in Hebrews 13:5. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is the bread of life. And in him we find satisfaction. In him we find salvation. In him we're guaranteed eternity. Now there's a story that's shared about thousands of children that were left orphaned after World War II. They were left hungry. They were left afraid. Allied troops set up camps to care for them, providing food, shelter, and safety. Everything they had gone without for so many years. Yet despite their new surroundings, many of the children could not sleep at night. Fear and anxiety gripped them. Even with full stomachs, their hearts were still empty. Then a psychologist tried something simple but profound. Each night before bed, he gave every child a piece of bread, not to eat, but to hold. And the results were astonishing. The children who once tossed and turned now slept peacefully through the night. Why? What made the difference? It was that small piece of bread. It became a promise to every one of those children that I ate today and I'm going to eat again tomorrow. It wasn't just bread in their hands. It was hope in their hearts. What those children needed wasn't just food for their bodies. It was assurance for their souls. And that's exactly what Jesus offers us. He is the bread that satisfies not just today, but forever. So let me ask you again, do you know Jesus? Is he the bread that you are trusting in? Is he the source of drink and communion that you long for? In Jesus, you'll find rest. In Jesus, you will find ultimate peace. And it's only in Jesus that you can find salvation. And what I love is our takeaway statement this morning. It's the bread of life can never be taken from us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with us from the moment of our salvation throughout all eternity. Do you know him? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? This morning, we're going to transition now and gather around the table. And as we prepare to take part in the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to just make a couple of notes for a second. You know, this passage that we just studied this morning is not a passage about the Lord's Supper, okay? Many people mistake it as that. But we know it's not because Jesus had not yet instructed his disciples and us to participate in the Lord's Supper. That institution had not been established yet. And we also know this passage isn't speaking of the Lord's Supper because Jesus was speaking to primarily lost people. And communion is for saved people, isn't it? It's for us in this room. Knowing this doesn't take away from the significance of what we just studied because we know in Jesus we have the bread of life. In him we find spiritual satisfaction and eternal security. Notice these words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We read, "For I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You know, remember, the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." What are we to remember? We're to remember his love. We're to remember his sacrifice. We remember that he is the bread of life, that he was broken for us so that we could be made whole in him. Paul reminds us also in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Before you take the bread and eat, before you take the cup and drink, spend a moment in confession if needed. Spend a moment in reflection this morning. Is there anything, ask the Lord, is there anything in my heart that's keeping me from being able to come before you with a pure heart this morning? Is there any sin that needs to be confessed? If so, lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning. You know, the Lord's Supper is not for perfect people, is it? It's for people like us that make mistakes every single day. It's for those, though, who have placed their faith in Jesus. Paul said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This cup represents the blood of Jesus poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. So take and drink in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. You know, this table is open to every believer in this room. You don't have to be a member of Friendship to come and partake of the Lord's Supper. You just have to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and after I say amen, as you feel led, you come, grab a wafer, grab a cup of juice. You can drink and eat here at the front, or you can go back to your seat. As you feel led, take, eat, and drink. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord Jesus, just recognizing that you truly are the bread of life. Father, it's only in you that we can find ultimate satisfaction. We'll never be satisfied through our pursuits of worldly things. We know the things of this world are temporary, but you're eternal. And Father, help us to be men and women that constantly hunger and thirst for you, that constantly seek to find ourselves, Lord Jesus, in communion with you as we worship you, as we read and study and hide your word in our hearts. Father, help us, Lord Jesus, this morning, even before we come to this table, help us to spend a few moments reflecting. Father, is there anything in our lives, is there anything that we need to lay down at your feet, any unconfessed sin, anything that's keeping us from pursuing after you? Father, there may be somebody in this room this morning that isn't a believer. And before they could ever come to the table, they need to get right with you. They need to repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in you. Father, I don't know what decisions need to be made this morning, but I know that you do before we come to these tables. Father, speak to our hearts. And as you release us, may we come and grab a wafer and a cup and participate in this new covenant that you instructed us to do often. Father, we love you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you feel led, you come. You come.